So tonight, amen, that in and of itself is not what I want to share with you tonight. I want to talk to you about something I've taught on years past, but I think it's very appropriate right now. And it's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. Come on now. Or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord, hear this now, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now was thinking about this, considering this, and reading this, amen. It made me think about, you know, a term that we hear a lot today, and it's called identity politics. What is that? That's where you look at the outward appearance. You know, you consider the outward, whether or not they're black or white, male or female, gay, lesbian, you know, or now we can throw into that category, you know, trans, you know. We look at the outward things to determine whether or not what we're going to do for them, you know. And remember, even the President of the United States said, he said early on during the campaign, I'm going to pick a woman, you know. And I'm going to pick a minority woman. So he narrowed it down. I'm not just going to pick a woman, but I'm going to pick a minority woman. So that pretty much narrowed it down. You know, that definitely excluding any female that wasn't a minority. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Because we fought in this nation for years, fought against, you know, policies, laws, and things that identify people by their appearance. Blacks can't come to these counters. Blacks can't go to these places. Blacks can't do it because what they look like on the outside, and yet here we are today. Here we are today, and we have a party, and I know they call themselves Democrats, but I call them communists. I call them Marxists. You know, again, I'm not just throwing terms out there to try to sound this way or that way, but if you just, again, believe their words. Again, as my sweetheart likes to say, amen, I get this from her. She said, once they show you who they are, believe them. We don't have to debate it. Once I show you who I am, once they show you who they are, believe them. Okay? So all the actions and all the things they're doing is saying that they hate America, amen, and that they want to bring this country down. And so it's a matter of a heart. And God says, I don't look at the outside. I don't look at the outside. The message says it like this. But God told Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with his looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. See, God knew that men, and he's talking to Samuel, the prophet, amen. He's telling Samuel, amen, don't be caught up in what he looked like. Yeah, he's tall, he's handsome, and he looked like he's built like, you know, Brother Miller. I'm just joking. We know, amen, that God knew that Samuel, amen, and those around him would immediately look at what they saw with their eyes. But God doesn't look at the physical. It says God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart. Amen. So tonight, I just want to talk to you briefly about a matter of the heart. You know, it says, amen, there are many things which are important, you know, in this thing that we call religion. And that has to do with what we believe, such as, you know, our doctrine, our beliefs. Amen. Here in the Church of God, we have our statement of faith, our doctrinal commitments, You know, those things that we say that we're going to use to help us conduct the way that we live. Mm-hmm. Religion, you have those things, you know, your theology, right? You know, we look at, you know, our actions, you know, how we dress. Talk about, you know, this thing in general, religion, you know, our appearance and all these things, you know, those are outward things. And I'm not saying that some of those things are necessarily bad. And the Lord isn't saying that some of those things are bad, but he's saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up in what you see, because what really matters is what's going on in the heart. What's going on, amen, in that place, amen, that identifies most with the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is, amen, your heart. You know? And so when it comes to a matter of the heart, amen, let us not get caught up in appearances. Mm-hmm. The Lord told Samuel to do what? He says, you know, he's getting ready to replace Saul, you know, who is presently the king. And remember, when the people chose Saul, what did they do? The Bible says of Saul, he was a foot taller than most every other man in the country. He had a nice little build, you know, and you know, he physically looked well. He was well groomed, apparently, you know. He was a well skilled soldier and swordsman and all that. I mean, he had it going on, right? And the people said, the Lord told them, he says, I'm going to be your king. He said, no, Lord, we don't want you to be king. We want a king like everybody else. We want to look like them. Where God was calling them and calling us today as believers, amen, to not try to look like the world. Therefore, amen, do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your heart. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. So here in 1 Samuel, amen, 16, it says that the time had come for Samuel to go to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint Israel's next king. And the scripture goes on to tell us, amen, it says, as Samuel looked at Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, Samuel was what? He was impressed. He said, with what he saw. And he says to himself, he says, surely this is the man the Lord wants to anoint, said the prophet. That's verse 6, 1 Samuel 16. But what happened? But God told Samuel, don't look at his appearance or how tall he is, because I have what? Already rejected him. God did not see as humans do. Humans look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks into the heart. Come on now. As I was saying, amen, in 1 Samuel 13, hallelujah, talks about Saul, and there it says that Saul being Israel's first king, right? He was tall, he was handsome. It says Samuel may have been looking for someone like Saul, right? He may have been looking for someone that resembled, you know, what Saul looked like. And Eliab's appearance was quite striking. Apparently, he fit the bill. But God had a different man in mind to anoint is Israel's king. The Lord had earlier revealed to Samuel that he sought a man, what? After God's own heart. Let me stop right there. It's a matter of the heart. Amen. The things that we see in our society today, amen, from A to Z, the full gambit of all the things that are happening in society, at the end of the day, it's a matter of the heart. It's about whether or not, first of all, you love the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if you love the Lord, then once you love the Lord, then it's easy to begin to love yourself and therefore other people. Uh-huh. Because when you have the love of the Lord in your life, you don't kill your own children. When you have the love of Christ in your life, mm-hmm, you do not take life for granted, amen. You do not support abortion, which is murder of innocence. And the Bible is clear about murdering innocents, and specifically kids. God looks way, 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 way down on that. Mm-hmm. God, have mercy on those that have not come to the realization of who you are, that are engaging in that particular sin. Mm-hmm. But amen, Saul fit the bill. And so I can imagine Samuel was looking at the same thing. But God doesn't look at our outward appearance. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, isn't it a shame what they do to the women in our society? Advertisement tells them, amen, they should look this particular way and be able to wear this type of outfit, this type of dress, amen. And their hair should be this way, and their physical build should be this way, and their weight should be no more or more less than this, and so on and so forth. And there are a lot of women that are having a lot of stress in their lives, amen, because they're caught up in that mentality of how they look on the outside. You're not just women, amen, God's immune. There are men that are caught up in that thing too. And I'm sure if my sweetheart was to jump on this broadcast and say something, she's saying, you better watch yourself, you know. But seriously, there are people that are struggling in life today because they have eaten of that pill, of that mindset that they have to be concerned about what they look like on the outside, to the point that many are stressed if they don't look a particular way. But I come out to tell you some good news tonight. Amen. I'm just going to repeat what the Word of God says. Is God doesn't look at the outward appearance. Uh-huh. God doesn't care what color your skin is. Amen. He made you. He's not concerned about how short or how long your hair is, or whether or not you have any hair at all. He doesn't care if you don't look like the so-called Adonis, Samuel, you know, Hercules type of physique, you know. He's not concerned with that. The Lord doesn't look at this, man, I wish that one right there looked more like Marilyn Monroe. Happened to be one of my favorite actors. She was very good and also considered to be very beautiful. But God doesn't look at that stuff, you know. God looks at the heart. And what I really want to impress upon you tonight, amen, is that, you know, trust what the Word of God says. Have faith in what the Word of God says. Amen. God loves you just as you are. Because see, some folks, amen, they get so caught up with the outward appearance, amen, they base their entire lives on that. We remember, in this country, we fought. We had a civil war in the 1860s, and then in the 1960s, amen, we had the civil rights movement. What was that about? That was about what people looked like on the outside. What if more people had had the attitude that the freedom riders, the freedom marchers, amen, Reverend King had, and that is, amen, he had a heart that tried to reflect, amen, the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so we find, amen, that here, that the search for the next king of Israel, because remember, the Lord had rejected Saul because of his disobedience, okay? And so even though Saul was yet still king, he was yet still alive, God was already preparing the next king. Mm-hmm. We know who that was, but he was already preparing the next king. Mm-hmm. And so it says, let me continue on. Hallelujah. He says, amen, God is looking for a man that's after, that has a heart like his. He said, a man after God's own heart. And I'm sure that gives you a clue now, amen. But it goes on to say that Samuel looked at all seven of Jesse's older sons. But the Lord rejected them all as his choice for king. He didn't select them. God was looking for one who had a faithful heart, a man after God's own heart. Amen. A faithful heart. He didn't say a perfect heart. He said, but a faithful heart. And see, some believe that they have to be perfect in order to please God. But you don't have to be perfect. God's not calling us to try to be perfect, because we could never pass that test. We would fail it every single day. multiple times. So God doesn't expect for you to be perfect, but he expects for your heart to be perfected, come on now, to be changed over time to reflect more like him. And when we do fail, amen, he says, repent and all is forgiven. Mm-hmm. The Lord said, Jesus says, repent and sin no more. Again, Samuel looked at all seven of Jesse's older sons, and the Lord had rejected all of him. David, Jesse's youngest son, now we know who he is, whom they had not even bothered, they didn't even bother to call their little brother to meet the prophet. So what they do, they had him out there tending the sheep. But Samuel, after he had what? After he had passed over the sons, they sent for David, and the Lord said what? He said, this is the one. Now, come on, somebody. You might not look like what somebody else think you ought to look like in order to be in the position that you in. You might not have all the credentials that others have to be where you are. Mm-hmm. You might not have come from the background that everybody else says is required that you ought to have at a minimum. You might not have, amen, all your T's crossed and all your I's dotted, amen. But when God has put favor on you, it makes no matter what you look like, where you're from, what type of language you speak, amen. But when God has chosen you, amen, and I preached a sermon some years ago called Choose to Be Chosen. When God has chosen you, you're the one. Amen. And so it says, amen, 1 Samuel 16 and 12, it says, this is the one. Talking about David. Come on now. We got to understand, hallelujah, that David was God's choice, amen, imperfect, but faithful. Hear what I'm saying? David was God's choice, not because he was perfect. He was imperfect, but he was faithful. His heart was toward the Lord. Amen. He didn't always get it right, but his heart was toward the Lord. Uh-huh. I don't always get it right. Oh, man, I failed so many times. Hallelujah. But the Lord knows, hallelujah. My heart was in the right place. I was trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I just failed at it miserably. And so God looks at our heart. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And when he knows that the heart is right, God can work with that. Mm-hmm. Don't need perfection. He just has to have you be willing and faithful. Mm-hmm. So it says, amen, hallelujah, that God had chosen David. Amen. Although the Bible says he was handsome, David was not a striking figure. He wasn't 6'4", you know, 6'3", and all that. That's not the impression we get of David according to scripture. But David had developed a heart after God in his time alone in the fields. While he's out there shepherding the flocks, amen, David had come to know God as his shepherd himself. Come on now. While he was out there, amen, to fighting against the bear and learning that he can trust in the Lord to give him the strength and all he needed to defeat the bear. When he was out there defeating the lion, amen, he learned to trust that God would give him all that he needed to defeat the lion, amen. He hadn't yet got to the place where he was going to fight Goliath, but when we know that when he stood before Goliath, he wasn't afraid. Well, you uncircumcised Philistine, he wasn't afraid. Why? Because he had developed a heart relationship with God the Father, and he knew that, amen, all he had to do was trust in the Lord, do the best that he could, amen, in what he had, and God would do the rest. But why? Because his heart was right with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Understand, appearances can be deceiving. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Bible says, what about the devil? The Bible says that the devil, he likes to pretend and try to come like he's the light, but we know there ain't nothing but darkness inside of him. Come on now. God looks at the heart. The outward appearance doesn't reveal, hear me now, the outward appearance doesn't reveal what people are really like. Understand, think of it like this. Physicians, they don't look, you know, they don't look at a person's value or character or integrity or faithfulness to God. Mm-hmm. Because if physicians did that, there's a whole lot of us that wouldn't get treated. Huh? Outward qualities are, by definition, what? Superficial. Mm-hmm. Moral and spiritual considerations are far more important to God. Mm-hmm. See, your morals will guide how you conduct your life. Your morals have to be based on something. If it's based on self, well, we already know what's going to happen here. But if it's based on the Word of God, it's a wonderful thing. God looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. So again, we see the Lord has chosen the one that was in the field, left behind by his brothers, but out there worshiping and praising the Lord while he was doing all that he was supposed to be doing. Let me hit on that real quick. Even though David was out there by himself, apparently, not just this time, but obviously plenty of times, he learned how to shepherd those sheep by himself. Amen. He didn't go out there and man, anybody here, I ain't doing nothing. I'm chilling. Man, I'm tired anyway, man. Let me find somewhere I can lay my head back and be out here a couple of hours and I'll walk him back. Now, he didn't do that. He was, even though his father and his brothers may not have been able to see him with their own eyes, amen, he understood, amen, that he was sent to do a job. And though I'm going to do the job, I'm going to do the very best that I can. And even though brothers and fathers could not see him, the Heavenly Father could. Mm-hmm. So let's look at this thing. What is meant by the heart? The heart in Scripture is a person's inner or moral spiritual life. In other words, how, like I said, how you conduct your life based on what you believe. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 4:23 explains that everything we do flows where? From the heart. Now, I know I'm patting on my chest, this physical thing is just a, you know, a common response, but it's really talking about your intellect, amen, your mind, amen, how you see things, amen. This is just a muscle right here, but your heart is your mind, amen, how you see things, amen, how you conduct your life is based on what you think. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, amen, the heart is the core of everything. It's the core of our existence, amen. It's who we are. A good man brings good things out of what good stored, the good stored up in his heart. Mm-hmm. And an evil man does what? He brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's Luke 6:45. Mm-hmm. To everyone who saw him, for example, Judas Iscariot. What? He looked like a faithful disciple. He was running with the right crowd. You know, again, another sermon, the almost Christian. He was an almost disciple. Amen. He dressed like they dressed. He went where they went. He sang the songs they sang. He ate the food they ate. He prayed the prayers they prayed. Mm-hmm. He spoke the Christianese, or should I say, he spoke the disciple-nese terminology that they were all speaking. Uh-huh. Teacher. Rabbi. But when you see Judas Iscariot, even though he looked like a faithful disciple, amen, his appearance was deceiving. The other disciples, what? They didn't have any idea of what was going on the inside. Now, the Father knew, but they, me and you, we didn't know what was going on the inside. They didn't know what was going on the inside of Judas. Jesus was the only one. Jesus. And we know that he knew. Mm-hmm. Jesus was the only one who knew Judas' heart. John 6:70 says, what? Have I not chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil. God's perspective is higher, deeper, and wiser than ours. He don't just look on the outside. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of God are continually roaming throughout the earth to strengthen people whose hearts are fully committed to him. God can pierce into our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. He can examine our motivations. Amen. He knows why we do the things we do and know everything there is to know about us. Psalms 139:1. God knows if a person will be faithful, and God sees what we others cannot see. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of the heart. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of the heart. The heart determines your character, who you are, and how you act. King David was far from perfect. We know that. Once he was anointed king and then eventually became king, amen. This imperfect man, he committed adultery. He committed murder. But God saw in David a man of deep, abiding faith who was wholly committed to the Lord. Now, I know some folks will say, well, how can he be so committed to the Lord yet he committed adultery, amen, and he even committed murder? How could you say this man, hallelujah, was wholly committed to the Lord? Because David is just like you and I. We love the Lord. You love the Lord. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you love the Lord. But did you commit any sins since you gave your life to the Lord? Have you committed anything that you had to repent of? I have. But God looks at the heart and says, amen, I know what's going on the inside. Yeah, you had a moral failure. Yes, you committed that sin, but you were wise enough to come back and repent and not go back and do that thing again. Come on now, that's one of the differences. God saw deep into David and saw his abiding faith, amen, that he was really, really committed to the Lord. God saw a man who would depend on the Lord for strength and guidance. God saw a man who would recognize his sin and failure and who would repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. God saw in David a man who loved his Lord, a man who worshiped his Lord with all his being. Remember when David brought the ark, amen, into the city, hallelujah, amen. He was so full of joy, amen, that the Bible says he danced out of his clothes. Now, I don't mean he danced naked, but it means he danced out of his outer garment, his robe, whatever he had on. That thing fell off of him because he was just having a good time out there celebrating the Lord. Mm-hmm. The man that loved the God, loved the Lord so much that he worshiped and praised himself out of his outer garment. A man who experienced God's cleansing and forgiveness and didn't forget about it, and had come to an understanding the depths. Understand this now. David, amen, he came to a place in his relationship with the Lord that he began to really understand, amen, the depths of God's love for him. God saw a man with a sincere and personal relationship with his Creator. That's what we all want to be. Again, we're talking about matters of the heart. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. God looked at his heart of David, and he saw a man, as the scripture says, hallelujah, Acts 13:22, a man after his own heart. I want to encourage you tonight, amen. You know, let us seek to be the man of God or the woman of God the Lord has called us to be. And that comes with, amen, being a man after God's own heart, being a woman after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. And it comes by building that personal relationship with our Creator. It's a matter of your heart. Well, God bless you. I hope that you got something out of tonight. Amen. You know, we really need to be praying for our nation. We see all the chaos that is happening. It's intentional. It's not spontaneous. Amen. It's intentional. But we can have some intentional prayer and pray for our leadership that is presently there, that they will grab hold, amen, of the heart of God and let him lead them as to how to deal with the things that are going on. And when we get our next president and the next leadership that comes in too, with our elections coming upon us, that whoever those individuals are, amen, we want to pray the same prayer, that they would get a hold of God's heart. And we pray, amen, if it's a new leadership coming in, hallelujah, that that individual, amen, be surrounded, amen, with godly men and women that will be laying hands and praying for him, helping him to be the servant of God the Lord has called him to be. Amen. We're praying for our children in our schools. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That God would open up their understanding. Amen. That he would send a servant their way. Someone to speak to them about, thus saith the word of God. Do you not realize how much the Lord loves you? You don't have to have this hate in you. Hallelujah. We pray for our families. From the eldest to the youngest, the saved and unsaved. Our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren. The whole gamut, nieces, nephews. We pray for those that are unsaved, Father. That this would be the day that they say yes to your will and yes to your way. And for them that are already walking with the Lord, we pray, Lord, have your way. Strengthen them. Do not let them get weary in well-doing. Amen. Well, God bless you.